An honest heart God can deal with. But when we try to fake it and we try to be something we're not, He can't help us. And if we pretend to be who we're not, we'll never become who we're supposed to be. So it is about being real, being honest, being yourself. And each one of us are uniquely designed by God. So there's not another one of you on the planet. And that's why God, you know, God likes variety. And I'm going to be able to connect with certain people, and you're going to be able to connect with certain people that I might not be able to. But God wants all of His people, amen, in kingdom business here. Every one of you here today is supposed to be involved in the work of God. Amen? You're supposed to be serving Jesus daily. Yeah. So we're called to this. We've been saved with purpose. Amen? We didn't just get saved to sit around to, as we say, sit, soak, and sour. But we were saved with purpose. God has a purpose for saving you. And He wants to use you and I as instruments to reach others. He wants multiplication. He wants a chain reaction in the spirit realm. And we do that as we go. And we take our testimony. Amen? We take words with us. God supplies the words. But He needs someone that will open their mouth and speak for Him. The same thing is true in praise. There's no such thing as silent praise. Praise is audible. Amen? And God inhabits praise. When God spoke, amen, He spoke everything into existence. He said, "Let there be light." God spoke an audible speaking, right? And so God has chosen the foolishness of preaching to save the lost. And often He chooses the foolish ones like myself. Sometimes to confound the wise. And that they were even baffled by Jesus because they said, "Isn't this the carpenter's son? Listen to what's coming out of him. That's amazing. He's just an average Joe," they thought. Well, you know, it's out of the ordinary that God does the extraordinary. So don't think that I'm nothing or what have I got to offer? Because it's not about my ability. It's not about your ability even to live for God. What we are called to is beyond our ability. But when we put ourselves in the place of being the able one, and are you with me? Trying to work it and make it happen, it doesn't work. Jesus said it this simply, "Abide in me." That's it. Abide in me, and you'll bear fruit. All you people that are stressed out, all you people that are heavy laden, all you people that are trying to perform and live up to the standards that are beyond what you could do naturally, He said, "Come to me and rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me. Let's hang out together. Let's have fellowship. I love you and I want to spend time with you. And I want to tell you how much I love you. I want to tell you about the plan I have for your life that is glorious. And it's beyond what you could even imagine. It hasn't even entered into your heart, into your mind. But if you're willing to listen, He wants to speak to us. He wants to tell you just who you really are. Oh, not what others have told you. Not even what sometimes well-meaning parents have sometimes told us that wasn't really true. Loser, you know, you'll never amount to anything. But He wants to speak to you and tell you what He really thinks about you and how much He really loves you and that He made you the way you are because He wanted you to be who you are. Some of us don't like us. We want to be somebody else. But God says, "I want you to be who you are." Because if you're not who you are, somebody's going to miss who you are. When you're trying to be like this person and that person, come on. The gift of God who is you in this earth is going to be missed by somebody because you're trying to be somebody else. Because the devil lies to us and tells us you're no good. That you're not worth anything. You're not as valuable as this person. Have you ever heard that before? Have you ever been around people and you just kind of feel inferior? Never. Yeah. Oh, I have. What God wants to do is reveal to us our true identity. When Jesus appeared, he came to reveal to mankind his true identity. If you want to know what a perfect man is to look like, is to walk like, is to speak like, is to act like, amen? Look at Jesus. He was the only perfect one. And you will become like the one you behold. You talked about your thoughts. If we're beholding the wrong thoughts, they'll magnify and defile. If we're beholding Jesus, we're beholding the Word of God. Hallelujah. We'll be transformed into His image. God's begun a work, and the enemy's constantly trying to get you to live an identity that's not true to who you really are. He wants you to look at what the media tells you and what's popular in Hollywood and those people that seem to have it all together, and he wants you to want to be like them. And yet, if truth be known, most of those people don't like who they are either, because they don't know who they are. There's more depression and pill popping among the rich, because they thought, well, if I can just get to the top of the heap, if I can just achieve what others say is success, then I'll be happy. If I can just make a little more money, have a little nicer car, have a little nicer yard, I'll be happy. And then they get the little nicer car, the little nicer yard, and they realize I'm not happy. What's missing? Jesus said a man's life does not consist in the abundance of the things he possesses. That's not life. That's a diversion. The devil's constantly trying to divert us from our purpose and from an understanding of our identity. I want to read to you today, if you will, it's from the New King James Version, Matthew 22, verse 36. We're just going to begin from here and we're going to move on, obviously. Matthew 22, verse 36. And then if you hold your finger there and move over to Romans 13 and verse 8. Matthew 22, verse 36 and Romans 13, verse 8. Let's go back to verse 34. But when the Pharisees heard that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together. And then one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question, testing him and saying, "Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law?" Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart." How many here love the Lord with all your heart? Amen. With all your soul and with all your mind. Now don't raise your hand on that one and lie. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like it. You shall what? Love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Two positive commandments. He says, hang all the law and the prophets on two positive things. Not on negative, but on positive things. Okay, flip over to Romans 13, verse 8. Owe no one anything except to love one another. How many know that the greatest force in the universe is love? It's the love of God. For he who loves another has what? Fulfilled the law. For the commandments, you shall not commit adultery. You shall not murder. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. You shall not covet. And if there is any other commandment, are all summed up in this saying, namely, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no harm to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. What has God called you and I to do?
Love.
If you love people, you don't abuse them. If you love people, you're not rude. If you love people, you don't belittle them. If you love people, you look out for their best interests. If you love people, you don't take advantage of them. Amen? If you love people, you don't steal from them. If you love people, you don't defraud them sexually. Outside of the bonds that God has placed called marriage. That's not love. That's lust. Sex is an awesome thing. God gave it to us. It's a wonderful thing in the right context. But outside of the boundaries that God has placed upon it, outside of the covenant, it's illegal. It's evil, and it's very destructive. Is anybody here a witness to that?
Amen.
Sex outside of marriage is destructive to the entire person. It will fragment you. It will even fragment your personality. God loves us, and that's why he tells us, this is the way I've ordered things for your life, so that you may be happy, you might be blessed. That's what blessed means, extremely happy. Happiness is the Lord. And so love fulfills the requirements. Everything that God said was in love. How many know that you and I were designed by him as objects of his affection, if you will? We were created because God wanted somebody to love on. So whether you feel loved or not, or even think or feel that God loves you, I'm here to tell you today that God does love you. How much does he love you? He loves you so much that he was willing to go to the cross for you. Jesus laid down his life for you. Amen. The Father gave his Son on our behalf. That's how much he loves us. So every time you don't feel loved, remember the cross. Remember what Jesus did for not someone who was so good, not someone who deserved anything, but for you and I, sinners, amen? God loved us so much, he took the initiative to make a way for us to be set free from all the dumb things we've done. How many know that sinning is dumb? That's my interpretation. And I've done a lot of dumb things in my life. I'm just thankful that I got an advocate. I've got a defense lawyer, amen, at the heaven's court. And I can come to Jesus and say, Lord, please, I'm sorry. Forgive me again. And you know what he says? Get out of here. No. He says, I love you. I forgive you. Now, don't be a knucklehead and do it again. Come on. Jesus healed people and he told them, now go and sin no more. Why? Because the worst thing can come upon you if you don't listen to me. Come on. Why did he say that? Because he was being mean? No, because he loves people.
Amen.
He knows what works. We need to start getting smart. Amen?
Amen.
You want to get smart? Start studying this word. Get this word in you. Amen? You want to get the wisdom of God. Find out what works. How many have discovered that this word works?
Yes.
This word is life transforming. We're renewing our minds. Hallelujah. How many have ever been in a situation where you were looking for something, searching frantically for it, only to discover it was right in front of your face? Has anybody ever lost their glasses when they're on their face? I'm sad. I know. That's a confession, brother. I play guitar, so I got picks everywhere with me, you know. And it's like they actually have formed in my fingers a certain way, because when I put my hands in my pockets, I do that a lot. I'm always hanging onto my pick. It's like even when I'm in the store, I've got my pick in my hand, you know. It's just one of those things. And I feel like when I reach in, it's not, where's my pick? Oh, my pick's not here. But I've been looking for my pick before, you know, and I'm pulling out my phone. I'm looking for my pick. And then a call comes in, and I flip it open. There's the pick. Illustration, sometimes we're looking for something that's right there all the time. And so, as believers, you know, we do that. And the title of today's message is Discovering What You Already Have. This is what we are involved with here. We are searching and seeking and discovering who we are. We are seeking and searching, discovering what we've already been given freely in Christ. You see, sometimes we're asking God for something that He's already given to us. The problem is when we asked for it, we didn't believe that we got it. We've had people come up and pray, I want to be filled with the Holy Spirit. I want to speak in tongues, you know. And so we ask the question, well, did you ask God? We come up, we pray, and we ask God to fill him with the Holy Spirit, amen, with the evidence of speaking in a language he never learned. All right, example. What happens? Well, nothing happened. Well, did you ask God? Yes. Did you believe? Yes. Well, do you have it? Oh, yes. Now, by faith, activate it. When you ask for it, he gave it to you. But it takes a step of faith to activate any gift in the Spirit. Isn't it right, Brother Gary? Amen. When you prophesy, you got to open your mouth, you got to speak. Maybe he just gives you one word, just get started, just speak that word. Amen. And once you take the step of faith, then God will back it up. Yes. He was just waiting for you to obey him. So when you ask God for the Holy Spirit, he said, believe in your heart that you receive it and you shall have it. So it's a matter of, do we believe what we've already been given? I don't feel saved today. Well, did you give your heart to Jesus? Did you repent of your sins and ask Christ to come into your life? Well, yes. But I don't feel saved. You know, there's times when I don't feel like loving my wife. There's times she don't feel like loving me. But you know what? There's still love there. Because love goes deeper than just a feeling. Good feelings follow genuine love. But they don't precede it. So often we live by feelings, and if the feeling's not there, then that must not be there. We live by what God promises. If God promised it, he's not a promise breaker. He's a promise keeper. Amen. God keeps his promises to us, folks. Oh, I don't feel like Jesus is still with me in my life. Well, what did he say? I will never leave you, nor forsake you. So who are you going to believe? You're going to believe your own heart? You're going to believe what Jesus said? I like what Larry said this week. He said, keep on believing until you do believe it. I want to write that. I mean, I wrote it on my heart. It's like, God, that's good. Thank you. It's a matter of that, isn't it? We're practicing this thing. We're learning how to believe. We keep believing until we do. Keep confessing it until it becomes a reality. If it's a promise from God, if he says, this is for you, then you can confess it and it will become a reality. Now, God may not be promising you that Lamborghini that you were looking at. So you can go around confessing that Lamborghini till you're blue in the face. But if we ask anything according to his will, that Lamborghini may not be good for you. It might give you a big head and God might lose you. or a big ticket. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 12 says, "Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God." It didn't say the things that we have worked for, but the things that have been freely given to us. All we can do, folks, is receive. If you try to work, it's wages, it ain't going to work. But if you are a receptor, you receive, you'll have. Did you ask? Yes. Did you believe? Yes. Then you have it. Oh. Amen. Now I'm going to start believing that I actually did get what I asked for. Why? Because God said, if you ask for the Holy Spirit, He'll give it to you. Why? He's a good father. And He knows how to give good gifts to His kids. And if you, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? He didn't say for those who work for Him, but those who ask Him. Do you believe? How many here are filled with the Holy Spirit today? Amen. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 2. I'm going to read from the New Living Translation. It says, "May God give you more and more grace and peace." May He give you more and more grace and peace as you grow in your knowledge of God and Jesus our Lord. What does that mean? We need to know what's freely given to us. We need to know who we are before we can start to live out who we are. If we don't know who we are, then we're going to live a dysfunctional life. We will waste ourselves if we don't know our purpose. So as we discover more and more of the Lord and His revelation to us of who He is and who we are, then we'll begin to live in that identity. Why? Because our minds have been renewed in the knowledge of Him. We begin to really now understand more and more of who we are. I'm not, and if that other thought that comes in there does not line up with what God says about me, guess what? It's illegal. It's from your adversary. He's trying to get you to believe a lie. He's trying to get you to accept a false identity. To live, or even to be discontented as to who you are. So he'll start chasing after this personality and that personality and wanting to hang out with this group. Well, I'm of Apollos. I'm a Billy Graham follower. I'm a Benny Hinn follower. I'm a this, I'm a that. Come on. You don't have to, you know, chase after personalities. You want to be like Jesus, right? And we thank God for the men of God that He's placed, amen, in our lives. But it's not about them. It's about the Jesus they serve. You don't want to be like me. You want to be like you in Christ. Even though I am a pretty great guy. No. Your dad said, I think last week or somebody said, a lady just sang a beautiful song and they came up and complimented her on it. And he said, "That was a beautiful song. You got a beautiful voice." She says, "Oh, it wasn't me. It was Jesus." And then he said, "Well, it wasn't that good." Of course it was you. You and Jesus together. You don't need, Christ and philosophy. Mixing things. You know, everything good that we need and desire is found in Christ. Everything that people need and really are desiring in their heart, their completeness, it's going to be found in Christ only, Christ alone. So if you're looking anywhere else for identity, for purpose, for completeness, you're missing it. You will become who you behold. As we look into the face of Jesus, into the glory of God, as we look into the glory, amen, we're transformed by that same glory, by the same Spirit, from glory to glory. We will become who we behold. So we want to find out who Jesus is, amen? We want to behold Him because we find our identity in Him. We were made in His image. Some people, you know, they want to add, they have their Jesus and then they have to have this. They have their Jesus and then they have to have that. You know, you don't need Christ and philosophy. In Colossians 2 and verse 10, it says, you are complete in Him who is the head of all principality and power. And that word complete means to make replete, to cram, level up, to furnish, satisfy, finish, verify, accomplish, complete, fill up, fulfill, make full, supply perfectly. Everything that you and I need and even desire is found in Christ. The enemy wants us to get into idolatry. That's to take our eyes off Him and start to look for other ways to complete, to be completed, or to be satisfied. He wants us to chase after other gods. Are you with me? He wants us to make gods even out of things sometimes that we possess. Or things that we enjoy. Why? Because He wants to divert you away from deriving your greatest pleasure from God. I was a youth minister for about 7 years. And I saw over and over again, even in youth ministry, where so much of everything centered around entertainment. We had to keep the kids entertained. I never really got into that because I always felt something was wrong with that picture. And what we were doing is we were telling the kids that Jesus is just so-so, church is just so-so, the devotion is just so-so, the prayer and the praise is just so-so, but Six Flags, well, that's a bash! Come on. And many times that's the message they were getting because we were hyping up stuff that we did as being greater than knowing God. Not intentionally often, but that's what happened. Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. Oh, this week we've been enjoying Jesus. Yeah. Are you enjoying the Lord right now?
Yes.
Have you decided to follow Him wholeheartedly? Have you discovered that He is the greatest treasure?
Yeah.
The greatest pleasure?
Yeah.
The greatest joy?
Yeah.
The greatest peace, perfect love, everything that we need, it's in Him. You don't need Christ and law, Christ and religion, Christ and performance, because Christ is the total sum of everything we need. He completes us. Why do we seek to be complete from sources other than Him? How many know that God is able to make all grace abound to us? In 2 Corinthians 9 and 8, Paul said, and God is able to make all grace abound towards you. Oh, yeah. Do you believe that? You see, we got to believe that until we believe it, right? If you don't believe that God has all that you need and more, all grace that can abound towards you, if you don't believe that, you're not going to receive it. Why? Because it's to the level that you believe God that you will receive from Him. God simply wants to be believed. He wants us to believe Him. He wants us to believe what He said. He is my provider, Jehovah Jireh. My God is my provider. Amen? Everything I need is in Him. I don't need God and this, God and that. If you have Him, you have the whole package. Everything that you see, the earth and the fullness thereof, and the silver and the gold, it all belongs to God. It all belongs to our Father. So why are we consuming ourselves with chasing after wind and sand and things that are just temporary when if we have Him, everything comes with. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And all these things shall be added unto you.
Amen.
We don't need to seek approval or love from the world. We simply need to discover and understand that God has already loved us. Amen? God already approves of me. God already loves me. I don't need to seek it from people. When we seek to get approval from people, guess what? You end up compromising. You end up getting in trouble because now you're going to compromise your standards so that they will approve you. Oh, you can hang out with our group. Come on. I don't need my validation from man. I get my validation from my Father. And if you're an earthly father, you need to validate your sons. Amen? And your daughters, moms. Because we're to be an example in the earth realm of the spiritual, the heavenly. And so Jesus received validation from the Father. This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. Do you know that God validates you and I if you listen? He's saying to you, you're my son. I'm pleased with you. Do you know I can say that with conviction and mean it? God is saying to you today, you're my daughter and I'm pleased with you. You just need to believe what I say about you. You need to believe your identity in me. Quit listening to that other voice that's telling you you're this and you're that and you'll never be and you won't be and you can't. Because I can do all things through Christ. We don't need to seek approval from the world. Romans 5:8, but God demonstrates his own love for us in this. And while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. We don't need to seek money and wealth when true and lasting riches are found in God. Why would a believer not trust God in giving when all wealth comes from him in the first place? Has anybody ever been challenged to give when maybe it was painful and you're thinking, God, is that you? How much? Do we trust him enough to do what he says? See, often God will test us, and he'll test you in the sacrifice. Are you willing to do what I say, even if it means pain is involved? There's pain in the offering. How many know that God will reward you richly and abundantly in the everlasting kingdom? Amen? For what you have said yes to now in obedience to his voice. Why? You know what? God wants you to be blessed. God wants his kids to have all kinds of toys when they get to heaven. Come on. He's building something beautiful up in heaven for those who love him, amen, and those who serve him, and even those who give sacrificially now and spend themselves and spend their lives on the kingdom, amen, and on Jesus, amen. Those who do that now are going to enter into an abundant welcome into heaven, hallelujah, and there's going to be an inheritance that will never fade or perish, amen, or moth can't corrupt and thieves can't break in and steal. See, we're living not for this world, but for the one to come. Hallelujah. That's why he said in Matthew 6:19, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. Another thing, folks, is we don't need to seek happiness from this world. Why? Because God's superior joy and happiness is freely available to us in Christ. How many have discovered this world just doesn't make you happy? I just want to be happy. Well, happiness is the Lord. And the things that I thought were making me happy later made me sad. Oh, there was an artificial happiness that came, but then later I'm like, wow, that really sucked. Excuse me, I shouldn't have said that. Come on. We need to get real. God wants us to draw near. God wants us to discover who we are in him. God wants us to understand what he's already given us. Quit trying to discover something that he's already given you in the sense that, or trying to attain something he's already given you. You need to discover it. It's right there. The resources of heaven are available to you in Christ. You want contentment? You need peace? It's right there. Christ in you, the hope of glory. You need hope? Christ in you, the hope of glory. Everything that we need that pertains to life and godliness is given to us in Christ. 1 Peter 1:6 says, "In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, listen, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials." Has anybody been through a trial? How many enjoy trials? James said, "Count it all joy when you go through trials," right? Why? Because God wants to promote you through it. That the genuineness of your faith, trust in God, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. In verse 8 it says, "Whom having not seen, you love." Do you love Jesus?
Yes.
Do you see him? Well, not in in a natural sense, do we? But we see him with our heart's eyes. "Though now you do not see him, yet believing, you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory." How? By believing. Believe until you believe it. I'm going to hang on to that. It's good. "Yet believing, you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory." It just amazes me how God shows up and he just like, wow, you know, we just experience the glory of his presence. Why? Is that wrong? No, that's good. That's what we're supposed to be abiding in, is his glory. Why? We're citizens of heaven. We've been raised up together with him. So we need to abide by staying focused. How do you abide? By beholding him. You will become like who you behold. You know, there's people that watch certain shows on television that, well, there's questionable content. There's a lot of filth. How many know most of the stuff on television ain't worth watching, right? And maybe just a little, ass, no big deal, you know. I heard somebody say one time, "I just filter out the bad stuff." And Chuck, one time, he got the revelation, well, what does a filter do? It collects. It gets stuck. You're not filtering it out. You got to quit entertaining stuff that's going to defile your spirit. Because what you behold is what you're going to become. "He who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. He who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life." Who you behold. You can't serve two masters. Romans 14:17, "For the kingdom of God is not in eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit." Does anybody need righteousness, peace, and joy here today? It's found where? In the Holy Spirit, in the one you behold. We don't need to seek comfort and pleasure from this world when we have already been given access to God. Amen? The God of all comfort and the God of all pleasure. How many know that God is not opposed to pleasure? You know, in some Christian circles, I think they believe that. Come on. You know, those lemon-sucking Christians. God doesn't want us to be happy. How many have discovered that happiness is the Lord? True joy is from the Lord. True pleasure is from the Lord. Don't be seeking for things that you already have in Christ. Don't be looking over here, looking over there. Come on. That's the enemy. Hey, over here. Come on. I got some really good stuff. You want to check it out? And for a season, oh, it felt good, but then I don't feel so good. But what God gives, amen, is forever. What God gives is good for us. What God gives brings true pleasure, brings true joy. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord. Extremely happy is the person who's trusting in the Lord. The person who is deriving their pleasure from God and not from the things of this world, the artificial things. Now, I'm not saying you can't go to Six Flags and ride a mission, you know, one of those things that make you sick and you vomit all over everybody. And, you know, if that's what you want to do that. But what we want is to understand something here is that none of that stuff that we do. Come on, how many been to the fair? You've been down to the Puyallup Fair maybe? And you go down there, you pay $20 for a hot dog, you know, and. Yeah, you're broke and disgusted, and you leave, right? And we had a good time. Now I got to go take an aspirin and take a nap, and you know, kick the manure off my shoes. And I like going to the fair. Don't get me wrong. But that's not where I'm going to find my pleasure. My ultimate pleasure is in Christ. My ultimate joy is in knowing Him. The more that I discover Him, the more I discover who I am too. And the more that I know Him, the more that I love Him and want more of Him and can't get enough of Him. And boy, you just start, you know, you get addicted to Jesus. And sometimes, you know, some Christians have been on the wagon with Jesus. Are you with me? They've been cut off. They've cut off that supply and they've gone over here and they're going to try this for a while. And thank God, though, that He's always there waiting for us. He's just there shaking His head and saying, I told you what to do, but I'm not going to violate your will. You have a freedom to choose. You know, there are consequences for your actions. But if you want to listen to me, come on over here, because in my Father's house is an amazing party. That lasts forever. There's no lack there. There's no sorrow there. There's nothing but joy and peace in the presence of the Lord. And if that's what you're looking for and that's what you need today, then you need to turn your eyes upon Jesus and you need to seek Him. Set your affections on things above where Christ is seated, keeping your eyes fastened upon Him, beholding Him, and the one that you behold is the one that you become like, and you'll discover that true pleasure, true joy, true happiness. Amen? How many are discovering that, huh? Amen. How many have been reminded at times when you've been away from that and all of a sudden you come back and God touches you or does something just out of the blue and you're like, oh, God, that's so wonderful. And He reminds you, say, what are you doing? That's not going to satisfy you. That's not going to complete you. Only I can complete you. Why? Because you came from me. We're married to Him. Come on, we were birthed by the blood of Christ. Amen? Just like Eve came out of Adam. We're His offspring. And what did He do? He brought Eve back to Adam. And they came together and they became one. Amen? And then in Christ, we are not to cheat on our lover. We're not to cheat on our God. If you've messed up, you come to Him in repentance and sorry, Lord, please forgive me. Please restore unto me the joy of your salvation. In Psalm 16:11, He says, you will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. I love that psalm. I love that. How many have discovered the Lord to be your pleasure? To be your joy? Psalms 36 and verse 8. They are abundantly satisfied with the fullness of your house. What does that mean? We are King's kids. We can come to our Father's house. Everything we need, God has, our Father has. Everything that pertains to life and godliness is found in Him. We need to come to His house. Draw near to God. And you give them drink from the river of your pleasures. Has anybody had a drink today? How many have been drinking this week? A bunch of drinkers in here, right? We're not drinking the polluted stuff of the world anymore. We don't need it. We've discovered the greatest treasure and the greatest pleasure is our God. He's the living one. Amen. The fountain of living waters. So 2 Corinthians 1:3 says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort." Do you need comfort? Don't look over here. Don't look over there. Amen. You don't need dope. You just need Jesus. Be addicted to Him. Who comforts us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. There's times when we need the comfort of God. Am I speaking to you today? But where do we find it? We don't have to go to artificial means. You don't need God and philosophy. You don't need Christ and psychology. You don't need Christ and law, Christ and religion, Christ and this and Christ and that. You need Jesus, and with Jesus comes the full package. You are complete only in Him. In Christ alone I place my trust and find my glory in the power of the cross and every victory, let it be said of me. My source of strength and my source of hope is in Christ alone. He made it easy. Love. Love God, love others. Love God, love others. Abide in me, and you will bear fruit. When you abide, when a tree abides, it just bears fruit. You can't work up fruit. You have to abide in Him, and you'll bear fruit. Worship Him in spirit. Worship Him in truth. In Christ, we've already been given all these things that most people are searching after. It's like Matthew 6:33 last night, Larry said, you know, about the Gentiles. He said, they're seeking after all these things. He says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And all these things will be added unto you as well. Because the world's never going to satisfy you. Find your delight in the delightful one. Find your joy in the joyful one. Find your completeness in the complete one. Discover the true riches of knowing Him, who is our all-sufficient God. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.